Greetings to all of God's people. This is again Mordecai Joseph. We're today in lesson 273, and we'll continue with chapter 12 and verse 6, speaking about the woman and what she, when she has a son or a daughter, and what she's supposed to do at that point. Well, in verse 6, she's bringing the sacrifice. So read, and when the days of her purification are fulfilled for a son or for a daughter, she shall bring a lamb of the first year for a burnt offering. And notice, all the lambs were young. You know, the first year always was not an old one. First, you know, first year, still young, still innocent in many ways, and clean and all those things, and tender. And that's the time to bring it to God. And they could do it only after the period of nursing. And that's why the law was given there. Do not boil a kid or, you know, a lamb, whatever it may be. In other words, don't sacrifice, don't offer a sacrifice, or don't even eat it for yourself while it is still nursing. And some rabbis, in their ignorance later on, reading this, you know, not with the eyes of light and truth and wisdom and understanding, they thought, what it means, we're not allowed to eat meat and drink milk at the same time or have dairy products. And they came up with all, you know, the dietary laws that have to do with that. And no Jew ever understood it that way. No, Moses didn't. Israel didn't. You know, that was their own invention. And you know, once they spread it around, everybody accepted it, and now people think that came from Sinai, and it didn't. Anyway, God says this is what you're supposed to do, to bring a lamb the first year. And, you know, if she didn't have a lamb, she could have brought a goat, too, a first year, and a young pigeon or a turtle dove for a sin offering. So one is for the burnt offering. You bring it to God, you see, and that's going to be a burnt offering. And the other one is for a sin offering, because of the shedding of the blood, you know, that came out of her. And as we mentioned earlier, it's not a question of sin in terms of doing something wrong. It's just a part of the process that God created. But the mere fact that blood was shed, blood has to be atoned for, you see. And that's, in essence, what David, you know, would mention later on in Psalm 51, when he repents before God. This is what he's saying here, that in sin, my mother has conceived me. And he's talking about the fact that when blood is shed, you know, when this ejaculation happens from the father, you see, life went out, you see. And that's why the man, you know, would be unclean all day until the evening. He has to wash his clothes, and the mother would be unclean until the days of purification is over. And so this is the sin offering that she is bringing unto the door of the tent of meeting. Later on, it was the temple, unto the priest. And then in verse 7 we read, and he shall offer it before the Lord and make atonement for her. You see? For the shedding of blood. And it's not, we're not talking here about a sin that was done in malice or breaking, you know, the laws of God. So we have to understand, you know, what kind of sin we are talking about here. And she shall be cleansed from the fountain of her blood that is purified now, and therefore she's able to come before God because this sin was atoned for. In other words, God wanted Israel to know in every single detail of their life, as Paul would say later on, whatever you do, whether in word or in deed, do it as unto the Lord, because God is holy, we're to be holy, and everything that we do must be toward that process of holiness, you see. And these are the ways that God gave Israel to be holy, and everything had a meaning. And so we read that in terms of the sacrifice that she brings, the atonement that is done for her, this is the Torah for her that bears, you know, that is, that has a child, whether a male or a female. So again, here you see a Torah which is for this kind of things, and there is a Torah for sacrifices, as we mentioned several times. The Torah is a generic name, that is the body of teaching, but you know, there are divisions and subdivisions for that, and each one of them is called the Torah. And so whenever you come to the Jewish writings, like the Mishnah or the Talmud, you find that they are divided into all those subjects, and each one of them is called the Torah. In other words, the body of teaching that concerns that part. And that's how the priests, and that's how Israel had to learn everything, you see. And whenever they would come to the priest and ask question. They will ask a question, what about the Torah of sacrifices, you see? In other words, a specific question. And when people don't understand that, just like, you know, when they go to the New Testament and read the Apostle Paul's writing, and when he talks about the Torah, they don't realize that he may be talking either about the Torah of marriage, or the Torah of sacrifices, or the Torah of washing and diverse washings, or the Torah of this, or the Torah of that. And some people think, well, certain things, because they are not in force, you know, for this reason or that reason, therefore that means the whole Torah, the whole body of teachings is gone. You see, that's ignorance. And when you understand that, then you comprehend. You've got to have a background to understand what the Apostle Paul is talking. If you don't have a background, a lot of things that he says, you will never understand. You see, because you're going to take many things that he says totally out of context. That's what Peter was saying about the Gentiles, not about the Jews, who knew, but about the Gentiles. He said, you know, our brother, you know, our dearly beloved, you know, the Apostle Paul, he says, you know, he writes certain things, and some of them are hard to be understood. But hard to be understood by whom? By the pagans, by the Gentiles, that now were coming into the truth, having no background, no knowledge, no understanding, and so they did not understand, you know, where he was coming from. And the Apostle Paul was a Pharisee of the Pharisees, so, you know, he was somebody that was coming with an awful lot of knowledge and understanding, and if you didn't know what he's talking about in the background, it just went over your head. That's what Peter was talking about. A Jew doesn't have a problem understanding Paul, and for that matter, everybody else, because, you know, they've been raised from youth on the Torah of God, on the prophets, and therefore they understand what he's talking about. So it's very important to realize that. And verse 8, we read, and if her means suffice not for a lamb, so God shows now grace and mercy for people who cannot afford it. After all, not everybody can afford a lamb. She might be a poor person. Then she shall take two turtle doves or two young pigeons, the one for a burnt offering and the other for a sin offering, and the priest shall make atonement for her, and she shall be clean. And I think that's basically what Mary had done when she brought the child Jesus to the temple with Joseph. She brought, you know, a pair of turtle doves, and that was a sacrifice. So, and either one is acceptable before God, because it's not the animal itself that makes a difference, you see. But when a person can afford it and doesn't do it, obviously there's going to be an attitude problem there. And that's, again, a matter of faith. And God knows the heart of man, whether they can afford it or not. Chapter 13 now, we're going to read about leprosy, and we'll go quickly through that. The comments that we need to make here is the understanding realization that a lot of people, again, no background. There is a lot of tithing. They don't understand what it is all about. You know, they just throw it in the air like that, tithing. God says, you got to pay the tithe? Well, give me the 10%. You know, I'm not in the position of the priest. And if you don't understand the context, if you don't have the background, you don't comprehend what the tithing is all about. The tithing was not just for anybody, you see, just for, you know, standing there and giving you a sermon, you know, once a week, once a, you know, whatever it may be, or counsel or whatever it may be. No, the tithing went to a group of people, which were the priesthood, that did many things for Israel. And it is under those conditions that the tithe was given. Not people that did only partly what they were supposed to do, or just a little bit, you see, or whatever it may be. No, they had to do everything in order to earn the tithe. And between the priests and the Levites, they did a lot of things. They were the judges, you see. So they didn't need to go to a lawyer and spend all that money. You didn't need to go to court and pay the court's fees. You went to the priest. That's why he was getting the tithe. So the justice department, you see, was in their hand. And you went to them when you needed healing. You went to them, you know, when you needed instructions about agriculture, about building, about construction, anything that had to do with the law of God, about music, any conceivable thing. So you see, their responsibilities were many. And here you see the priest in the position of the physician. So the Department of Health was in their hands. And it is to them that people went. And if people wanted to know how to, you know, what to eat, you know, eating right, like nutritionists, you went to the priest. They had all the knowledge and information. God gave it to them, what was not known to men, God added to it. You see, so there was a totality there in the priesthood of knowledge, of information, which they were supposed to give to the people. That's what the law of God is all about, the Torah. It's an all-encompassing way of life. And the priest was supposed to know all these things. And the Levites were studying it day and night. That was their responsibility. And it's for that that they received the tithe. And when people don't understand that, they think, oh, you know, he's a minister, you know. What is he doing? A minister, you know, once a week he preaches. You see? And, you know, does a few little counseling during the week here and there. That doesn't earn him the tithe. You know, God doesn't give the tithe just for that. You see, the laborer is worthy of his hire. But he has to labor first. And Israel knew exactly what the responsibilities of the priests are and what they are supposed to do. And when they've done all those things, then they paid them the tithe. But if you do only part job, you know, you get a job and you go to work and you say, well, now I'm going to come only on Monday or Monday and Tuesday, and I want, you know, whole week salary. Well, he's going to pay you that. You see, only a fool will do that. The boss would say, no, you work a whole week. You know, that's a rule. 5 days like everybody else. Then you get a 5-day paycheck. Well, the Levites, unfortunately, so-called the Levites, quote-unquote, you know, the ministry or priests or whatever it may be, they don't understand that. They have no knowledge. They're ignorant. They're ignorant in the law of God. To begin with, they have contempt for the law of God. And they have the audacity to turn around and say, hey, I want the whole tithe. You see? And that's blasphemy when you think about it. That's a thief. That's what Christ exactly called them. That's what he said. I am the true shepherd. You know, I'm the high priest. I take care of everything for you. And yet he said, all those that came before me, all of them, he said, were thieves and robbers. And he's talking about the religious leaders. And he's describing how they were robbing the people and all the evil that they were committing against his own people. And they were stealing from the people in many ways, just like we read about the sons of Eli. Even though that portion was due to them, they were going and they wanted, you know, to take it before the meat was cooked, before the Israelite is ready to give it to them. You see, it was up to the Israelite to give it to them. It's not up to them to take it from him. You know, like the government does with taxation, they don't ask you, they take it from you. You know, you get it from your paycheck. When you get your paycheck, the government already was there. You see, and that's contrary to the law of God. You're supposed to be the one to offer it to those in authority, you see, but that's not the way the government of the world works. And the priests also, a lot of them, when they were disobedient to God, they became that way. And the sons of Eli were, in essence, robbing the people because they were taking whatever they wanted, you know, from not even only their own part, but even more than that. And God condemned that. And throughout the scriptures, you see the condemnation that God has toward the priesthood. And the Apostle Paul talks about the you know, the ministers in his day that he ordained, many of them probably, personally, and others were ordained by others, like Timothy. When comparing Timothy to them, he said, you know, I have no man of like mind that is like Timothy. No man, speaking about the ministry, who will naturally care for you. Not the one that goes for filthy lucre. You see, wants money for himself, wages, does it for money, and a hireling, as Christ would call him. He said, in contrast to Timothy, he said, all. He didn't say some of them. He said, all of them seek their own, not the things of Christ. That's what they're after. And they've been ever since, to this very day. Most of them. There are very few honest among them. Look at the Apostle Paul. An apostle who had the power, who had the authority, you know, to request the tithe or part of it, you know, or, you know, contributions, whatever it may be, to support the ministry. And yet, he said, I worked with my own hands. Became a tent maker. Imagine that, the Apostle Paul. You don't see those guys on television, you know, with all the rings are on their hands and many others. The first thing they do when they have a group of followers or organization, the first thing they do is money. We want money. Oh, to do the work of God. They always throw that line there. You see? What they mean by that, a lot of it goes into their pocket. That's unfortunate. And God describes, unfortunately, the priesthood oftentimes in this position, or the leaders of Israel, the prophets of Israel, and oftentimes they were priests. And, you know, they were the men of religion. So the prophets generally came from them. And so you read in Jeremiah, for example, in chapter 5, verse 30, God describes them. He says, an astonishing and a horrible thing, that's the way God views it, has been committed in the land. The prophets prophesy falsely. And of course, they get paid for it, and they still do to this very day, preaching their own words. And the priests rule by their own power. God never gave them that power. They've taken it to themselves. So here it is, the prophets prophesy falsely, and the priests rule by their own power, and my people love to have it so. But what will you do in the end when you stand before my judgment seat? That's what he's saying to them. What are you going to do there? Going to play those kind of games? That's unfortunately what the people are doing. And when the priest was supposed to know the law and function within the law, not apart from it, not personalize power, never personalize power, never take credit, any credit to yourself. What are we? Just microphones, you know, we're instruments. All the credit goes to God. We have no power. God hasn't given us power. You see, the only authority that he gives to the ministry or the priesthood is the authority to teach, to show people the right way. Never to exercise dominion and authority over them, and Christ forbid the ministry from ever having this attitude because others were doing it. He said the Gentiles function like that. You know, they exercise dominion and authority over them, over their faith, tell them what to do, and then tell them, give us, you know, money, 10%. And that's not enough. Offerings, that's not enough. Special, you know, offerings, and so forth. Impoverishing people, you know, who are in poverty to begin with, a lot of them, and they don't care. So they can live on high and supposedly say, that's for doing the great work. Well, men, unfortunately, have been doing it from the beginning of time. It's nothing new about it, and they're doing it still to this very day, and probably many of you have experienced that. And they don't understand, to begin with, the ABC, or the responsibility of the priest. And all that he's supposed to do. He's supposed to be the judge. He's supposed to be the educator. He's supposed to be the physician. You see? He's supposed to be many things before he earns the tithe. And how many people do you know like that? And yet they have the audacity of claiming the whole tithe to themselves. And they tell you that you are thieves and robbers. You know, when you don't give it to God, to them, because that's what the law says. Yes, when God said that, you are robbing, you know, me, he's talking about priests who are doing their job, the entirety of it, not a little bit of it. You see? And so when Jesus Christ tells them that the hire is worthy of his labor, well, he's doing his job to begin with. He's not talking about lazy people who just do a part of it or a little bit of it, be it out of ignorance or whatever, and then demand the whole thing. You see, there is an awful lot of ignorance, and unfortunately, most of the spiritual leaders are just as ignorant as they can be. And so, let's understand that and comprehend what the priesthood is all about. And we're going to see a lot of that as we go through the book of the law. By every, you know, in other words, by every word of their mouth, you know, everything is going to be judged. So, they, you know, you go to them for judgment. You don't need a lawyer or a court system. Think about all the money, you know, that lawyers are stealing from people because they have despised the law of God. You see, those who practice the law should do it for free. The law of God, that is. You know, the teachings allow men to live in peace with one another. As it is, people are paying the tithe. Why do they need to pay more than that? You see, and since the government, you know, robs us of our wages, they should be the ones to take care of the lawyers, not the people. Well, this is what happens when people, you know, despise the law of God. We end up with all these curses. That's why God says, cursed be the man who puts his trust in man, and we did. And so we are where we are because of that. And so, let's realize that as we read this, even though, you know, this is just a matter of a physician, you know, dealing with this matter, let's understand the part of the priest also, being a physician. And this is what we read here in chapter 13, basically speaking about leprosy. So we read, and the Lord spoke unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, when a man shall have in his skin of his flesh a rising, or a scab, or a bright spot, and it become in the skin of his flesh the plague of leprosy, then he shall be brought unto what? The dentist. You know, the neurosurgeon, you know, the physician, you know, that charges you an arm and a leg, you know, and all the money that he has to pay, hospital costs, surgery, operation, chemotherapy, you know, all these things. you know, the medical industry in this country, you know, the health industry is over $1 trillion. That's what Americans are spending. For what? All that should have been totally for free, just by paying 10% to the priesthood. You see, the other ones are supposed to be the physicians and learn all about disease and take care of that, and to begin with, teach people the law of God so they wouldn't get sick to begin with. And then the job becomes simple. Well, this is what God is saying here. You've got a problem like that, you go to the priests. You see? You go on to Aaron, the priest. Well, that was the beginning. After that, you know, all of his sons and all his descendants, and that's the way it was in Israel. You didn't go to a physician that, you know, will suck it to you, you know, and impoverish you for the rest of your life, you know, mortgage your house and everything you own. And people, you know, work all their lives, at the end of their life, you know, because of the medical costs, everything is gone. They've got nothing to give to their children. You see the curses that came upon us because of that? And the ministry is responsible for that. They haven't done their job. They don't even know the law of God as they should. They know very little about it. Give it a lip service and that's all. They're not practicing the law of God. How can they teach it to others? And so, he said, you bring it to Aaron the priest, or unto one of his sons, the priest, sorry, future times, and even in his day, there were only two now left. And the priest shall look on the plague in the skin of the flesh, and if the hair of the plague turn, you know, be turned white, and the appearance of the plague be deeper than the skin of his flesh, it is the plague of leprosy. You see, God is it, you know, the physician. That's why Christ said, I'm the physician, I came to heal people, people are sick. God offers us everything. He delivers everything. You see, He provides us with everything. And that's why He said, give me the tithe. You know, that's not much. To begin with, all belongs to me. But, you know, I don't need it. Give it to the priest, because they're doing all those things. Not just, you know, telling you, hey, I'm the priest, give me the money. And that's the way it works with the law of God. And people who are ignorant do not study the law of God, neither the priests nor the people. Well, they're all, you know, in ignorance, and therefore they're paying the penalty. And they're paying to the hilt. And so this is what God is saying here. And the priest shall look on him and pronounce him unclean. A lot of people go to the doctor and they say, oh, I've got a stomachache, you know. And he says, oh yeah, you've got a stomachache, you know, it costs you $60. Well, I knew that already, that I have a stomachache. What do you charge me $60 for? That's the way it works nowadays. And so this is what happens here. In other words, the priest says, well, you've got to be quarantined now, you're unclean. In other words, don't hang around other people, make people sick. And he forbids him to do it. Basically, what they've done in that time, the priest has the authority of telling, hey, you're going out of the camp now, quarantine. And so you see the authority of the priest there, and at the same time, it's authority for the good of the people, not for their own harm, not to hurt them. Verse 4. And if the bright spot be white on the skin, that is, white in the skin of his flesh, and the appearance thereof be not deeper than the skin, and the hair thereof be not be turned white, then the priest shall shut him up, that is, quarantine him, that has the plague 7 days. So he's protecting his family, he's protecting his, you know, his relatives, his, you know, passers-by, you know, people that he deals with, you know, so he wouldn't go to the market and temple and, you know, here and there and contaminate other people, you see. Now, these are laws of men, you know, the physicians. The physician law we are studying here, medics, you see, and all that was in the hand of the priest. And he didn't come and give him, you know, $60, you know, just for seeing, to see for an appointment. You know, just paid him the tithe, and so he's supposed to do all these things for you. I was taken for granted. Verse 5, and the priest shall look on him the seventh day, and behold, if the plague stay in its appearance, and the plague be not spread in the skin, then the priest, and obviously the priest had to come to your home to do it, you know. The doctor, the physician, that, you know, that with the house calls, that's what it was. You didn't go to the temple, you know, you were unclean, so the priest had to come to your home. That was the beginning, you know, practice, you know, the house calls, you know, by the physicians. Because to begin with, they used to be priests, people of God. You see, with the knowledge and understanding that came directly from God. You don't need to go to school for that. Your school was your father and, you know, and your uncle and cousin and, you know, and all this that went before you, and they passed on all the information they had to you. And that's the way it was, and that's the way God wanted it, and that's the way it's going to be in the future. You know, if you're a doctor today, you're going to lose your job in the future. God is not interested in you in being a doctor and charging everybody, you know, and impoverishing people. This will go back to the priesthood. In every nation that God is going to raise, and you pay them a tithe, and that's all you have to pay. Everything else is going to be taken care of. Today, you know, we've got an educational system that doesn't belong to people, belongs only to the priests, to the Levites, and yet it's not in their hand, and you've got the, you know, the physicians, and you've got the lawyers, and you've got, you know, the judges. You see? That's what men created. That's not God's system, this is man's system. And we've had it for a long time. And look how much it's costing us. And so the priest shall look upon him on the seventh day, you know, paying a, you know, giving a house call, and then the priest shall shut him up 7 days more. And the priest shall look on him again the 7 days. So now 14 days, and you obey. You know, the priest tells you to do that, you do it. You see that, because that's the authority of God speaking there. And it's not somebody doing his own thing. And behold, if the plague be dim, and the plague be not spread in the skin, then the priest shall pronounce him clean. It is a scab. And he shall wash his clothes and be clean. But if the scab spread abroad in his skin, you know, just the problem is still there, spreading. After that he has shown himself to the priest for his cleansing, he shall show himself to the priest again. You know, wherever the priest, you know, had a place where he can come to him, but, you know, he didn't go to the temple, obviously. So, I mean, you know, so to speak, that was the clinic. You know, the priest will go to the clinic and you go over there. And he'll take care of you. And so, obviously, you know, as things developed, you know, there was law and order, and all things were done in a proper way. And so there were a lot of instructions, obviously. You know, where do you come to see the priest? You know, either he comes to your home, or you go to a certain place, but not the temple. Whatever, you know, whichever was the case. And so, the priest, you know, sees you again. He will show himself to the priest again, and the priest shall look, and behold, if a scab be spread in the skin, then the priest shall pronounce him unclean. It is leprosy. So you go through this process of diagnosis done by the priest. That's a, you know, the physician. That's a doctor. That's why Christ called himself a physician, you see. And he said, I came to heal the sick. That's why he took upon himself all the sicknesses and our diseases. He's the physician. You see, and in essence, the priest was taking it upon himself when he was dealing with Israel, all the sicknesses and diseases he was coming in contact with. And obviously, God was protecting him. And he was, you know, doing what he was supposed to do as a priest. And that's how God, in essence, brought healing to them. You know, people don't realize that. God told Israel, if you're going to obey my voice and commandment, I'm going to remove all the sicknesses and diseases from you. I'm going to heal you. Yes, but how did he do it? You know? Some people think, well, all you do is just lay your hands on somebody, you know, anoint him with oil, and poof, it's gone. Well, that too is done. But oftentimes, the majority of it, the way God did it, is through the priesthood. You know, when they checked out the person, if he's sick, yeah, get out of here, you know. 7 days quarantine, or 14 days, you know, don't hang around with people. And whatever herbs, whatever spices, whatever things, you know, they could have given them, you know, depending on knowledge and understanding of their head, that's what you got, you see. And then gradually, the sickness was taken care of. That was the healing that God was talking about, you know, that he was going to remove all the sickness and disease of Egypt. One problem in Egypt, you know, when somebody was sick, he stuck around, you know, so he infested others, and everybody got sick. And the sickness would spread. But you see, the priest will be in control here, and he has absolute authority to tell the person, no matter who that person is, you go there, you know, and you stay there for 7 days. You know, don't pollute the holy congregation of God. Don't defile them. Don't contaminate anybody else. And the priest will take care of you, and that's the way it worked. And so the priest looks at him again, and he pronounces, you know, it's a leprosy. Verse 9, and when the plague of leprosy is in man, then he shall be brought unto the priest, wherever the priest was, and obviously again, not in the temple, and the priest shall look, and behold, if there be a white rising in the skin, and it have turned the hair white, and there be quick raw flesh in the rising, it is an old leprosy in the skin of his flesh, and the priest shall pronounce him unclean. You see, he's unholy, unclean. He shall not shut him up, in this case, for he is unclean. There were cases where he needed to shut them up. In other words, when it was infectious. But when it's not, you didn't need to do it. And if the leprosy break out abroad in the skin, and the leprosy cover all the skin of him that has the plague from his head even to his feet, as far as appears to the priest, then the priest shall look, and behold, if the leprosy have covered all his flesh, he shall pronounce him clean that has the plague. It is all turned white, he is clean. But whenever raw flesh appears in him, he shall be unclean. And the priest shall look on the raw flesh and pronounce him unclean. You know, you're basically sort of going to a medical school. That's what you're doing here. But then you realize, who is the doctor? Who is the physician? And that tells you an awful lot about the law of God also, and how far we have departed from it, and where we are because of that. And the priest, verse 15, shall look on the raw flesh and pronounce him unclean. The raw flesh is unclean. It is leprosy. But if the raw flesh again be turned unto white, then he shall come unto the priest, and the priest shall look on him, and behold, if the plague is turned into white, then the priest shall pronounce him clean that has the plague. He is clean. And when the flesh has in the skin thereof a boil, and it is healed, and the plague that is in the place of the boil there is a white rising, or a bright spot, reddish white, and then it shall be shown to the priest. Obviously, the priest had to learn all these things. And Israel were reading the law, you see, in the synagogue, and all of them were aware. They were not a bunch of ignorant people. They were highly civilized and educated people. And so they too, you know, could have diagnosed a lot of those things. But still, the physician was the priest involved in that, because a matter of because, you know, it has to do with the spiritual connotations also. After all, people don't get sick, you know, for living righteously, you see, physically and spiritually. But obviously laws were broken, and so religion gets involved, the priesthood gets involved, God gets involved, you see, and God gets paid at 10% for all these functions of the priesthood, and the priests are the ones that get it, and the Levites. And so, and the priest shall look, and behold, if the appearance thereof be lower than the skin, and the hair thereof be turned white, then the priest shall pronounce him unclean. It is the plague of leprosy. It has broken out in the boil. But if the priest look on it, and behold, there be no white hairs therein, and it be not lower than the skin, but be dim, then the priest shall shut him up 7 days. And if it spread abroad in the skin, then the priest shall pronounce him unclean. It is plague. And notice the detailed instructions. It is not left up to man. It is not left up to the people or to the priesthood. God is in absolute charge of the information, and that's the reason. God said that only the priest should be in this position, and you do not have doctors in the land, you do not have teachers in the land, because the priests and the Levites are the ones, and they are under the control of God. You see? And the pool of knowledge was there, you know, among them immense. And they pass it on from generation to generation, and all that, so the wife of God can be holy, sanctified, purified, washed by the word, teachings of God. You see? All the things are involved. And we've forgotten all that. We're so far apart from it. You know, this sounds strange to us when we read this. Verse 22. And if it spread abroad the skin, then the priest shall pronounce him clean. Now, that is unclean. It is the plague. But if the bright spot stay in its place and be not spread, it is scar. It is the scar of the boil. And the priest shall pronounce him clean. For when the flesh has in the skin thereof a burning of fire, and the quick flesh of the burning become a bright spot, reddish white or white, then the priest shall look upon it, and behold, if the hair in the bright spot be turned white, and the appearance thereof be deeper than the skin, it is leprosy. It has broken out in the burning, and the priest shall pronounce him clean, and that is unclean. It is the plague of leprosy. But if the priest look on it, so you can see the involvement constantly of the priesthood there, of the physicians, of God. You see? That's what we're talking about here, broken laws and consequences, and they're all spiritual in nature, not only physical. And that's where religion is very deeply into that, and religion was supposed to be deeply into that, and, you know, should be still to this very day. But how many ministers do you know are in this category? You see, they don't even know their role, and yet they demand your tithe. That's audacity, the height of audacity. But if the priests look on it, and behold, there be no white hair in the bright spot, and it be no lower than the skin, but be dim, Then the priest shall shut him up 7 days, and the priest shall look upon him the seventh day. If it spread abroad in the skin, then the priest shall pronounce him unclean. It is the plague of leprosy, and if the bright spot stay in its place, we're in verse 28, and be not spread in the skin, but be dim, it is the rising of the burning, and the priest shall pronounce him clean, for it is the scar of burning. And when a man or woman has a plague upon the head or upon the beard, obviously it's for men, not for women, though sometimes you see women also with a little beard there, that's because something went wrong, you know, in the body. Broken laws, verse 3, then the priest shall look on the plague, and behold, if the appearance thereof be deeper than the skin, and there be in it yellow thin hair, then the priest shall pronounce him unclean, it is a skull, whatever it is a leprosy of the head, of the beard, and if the priest look on the plague of the skull, and behold, the appearance thereof be not deeper than the skin, and there be no black hair in it, then the priest shall shut him up that has the plague of the skull 7 days. You can see, medical information was divinely revealed directly to the priesthood. God is recording it here. Moses is writing it. You see, that is, God is speaking it. Moses is recording it, giving it to the priesthood. They're supposed to study it. They're supposed to know it very well. That's a medical school they have to go through. They have to go through a medical school. They have to go through an institution that would teach them, within the priesthood, all matters about agriculture, about building, about this and that and the other thing. They're supposed to know the law so they can be judges. You see? They had many hats that they had to wear, and for that they got the tithe, 10%. And that's the system of God. And where we are, in contrast to that. And so, all that is from God. And then he gets shut up, for 7 days. Verse 32, in the seventh day the priest shall look on the plague, and behold, if the skull be not spread, and there be in it no yellow hair, and the appearance of the skull be not deeper than the skin, then he shall be shaven, but the skull shall he not shave. And all those things have reasons. God gave us all those reasons. And the priest, that studied all those things, obviously had greater understanding. That's what it says. A good understanding have all they that do his commandments. And so the priesthood themselves, in doing the commandments of God, learned an awful lot of things too. And gave it to the people of Israel, for free. Well, for free, 10% took care of that. And verse 33, then he shall be shaven, but the skull shall he not shave, and the priest shall shut him up that has the skull 7 days more. And in the seventh day the priest shall look on the skull, and behold, if the skull be not spread in the skin, and the appearance thereof be not deeper than the skin, then the priest shall pronounce him clean, and he shall wash his clothes and be clean. And he had to obey the doctor, the instructions of the physician. And people that did not, God told them, you're going to be presumptuous, and the penalty will be executed, and God is going to do it, one way or the other. So you can see a total obedience here that was required of the people of Israel when they were righteous and when they've done things that brought on them sicknesses and afflictions. Verse 35, but if the skull spread abroad in the skin after his cleansing, then the priest shall look on him, and behold, if the skull be spread in the skin, the priest shall not seek for the yellow hair, he is clean. But if the skull stay in its appearance, and black hair be grown up therein, the skull is healed, he is clean, and the priest shall pronounce him clean. And if a man or a woman have in the skin of their flesh bright spots, even white bright spots, and think about it, God does not want a bride that has spots and blemishes, you see? So all these things factor in the spiritual life, not only the physical one. And it seems to be tedious or boring. Well, obviously, there are always parts of life that are boring. That's reality. Life is not always, jumping and exciting in Disneyland and fascination, and that's the way, children always want to have this kind of life. Life includes all aspects of life. And because of that, some people get bored. You see, when they think everything has to be exciting. No, everything doesn't have to be exciting. There is a time for this and a time for that. And we have to know it all. And so we read in verse 38, and if a man or a woman have in the skin of their flesh bright spots, even white bright spots, then the priest shall look, and behold, if the bright spots in the skin of their flesh be of the dull white, it is better. It has broken out in the skin, he is clean. and in verse 40, and if a man's hair be fallen off his head, he is bald, yet he is clean. And if his hair be fallen off from the front part of his head, he is forehead bald. Well, you look at the mirror, you find that out. Yet is he clean, but if there be in the bald head, or in the bald forehead, a reddish white plague, it is leprosy breaking out in his bald head, or his bald forehead, then the priest shall look upon him, and behold, if the rising of the plague be reddish white in his bald head, or in his bald forehead, as the appearance of the leprosy in the skin of the flesh, he is a leprous man. He is unclean. The priest shall surely pronounce him unclean. His plague is in the head. And the leper in whom the plague is, his clothes shall be rent, and the hair of the hair of his head shall go loose, and he shall cover his upper lip, and shall cry, unclean, unclean. That's what the lepers were supposed to do in the land. And you see, the people of Israel, studying all these things, yes, as boring as it may be, you see, they knew when a sick person was around, because they've studied the law of God. And so even before they went to the priest, people saw other people like that, you know, within the family, relatives, in the market, in the temple, wherever, said, hey, get out of here, you're a leper, so you've got this, or you've got that. Because all of them were knowledgeable. And that's what God wanted everybody to know, all these things. And the priest would have even much greater knowledge and understanding. And that's the way we work in the holy congregation of God. Everybody could diagnose a lot of these things, you know, after a while you get to know what it is. And in verse 45, and the leper in whom the plague is, his clothes shall, be rent again, and the hair of his head shall go loose. And obviously, then he has to go and cry when he goes out in the market, unclean, unclean. So people don't get close to him, they don't touch him, otherwise they become unclean and they cannot go to the temple. Verse 46, all the days wherein the plague is in him, he shall be unclean, he is unclean, he shall dwell alone. And that's what the lepers were. Nobody would touch them. And, you know, Christ was the one that touched them. And, of course, being a physician, you see, a high priest, he performed his job there. And without the camp shall his dwelling be. And verse 47, and when the plague of leprosy is in the garment, whether it be a woolen garment or a linen garment or in the warp or in the woof, whether it be of linen or of wool or in the skin, or in anything made of skin, if the plague be greenish or reddish in the garment or in the skin or in the warp or in the woof or in anything of the skin, it is a plague of leprosy. So even clothes can be contaminated and shall be shown unto the priest, and the priest shall look upon the plague and shut up that which has the plague 7 days. And he shall look on the plague on the seventh day, if the plague be spread in the garment or in the warp or in the woof or in the skin, whatever service skin is used for, the plague is a malignant leprosy, he is unclean, and he shall burn the garment, you see, avoid, you know, the contamination, the infectious diseases, or the warp, or the woof, whether it be of wool or of linen. Now, when you're not sick, you know, all these things are tedious and boring, but when you're sick, these things are very important to you, and you want to know it, and you go over it, and that's what people do when they're sick. They study anything they can, they pour over all those books, you see, and that's the problem with us. You know, when we don't have a problem, you know, we don't care. And we wait until we have the problem. Instead of doing it all along, that's what God wanted his people to know, to do all these things. Do it all along. So when it happens, you know what to do with it. And we don't have that attitude. You know, we have contempt for the law of God. Then when we're in trouble, we cry, oh, help us, God. Well, for that reason, God gave us the instructions in the law how to take care of the body, the temple of the Holy Spirit. God gave us many laws. And people are not paying attention to them, you see. And when you think about it, all these things that we are reading here, this is a revelation from God. Medical profession has been revealed by God to men. So men doesn't have to go and experiment on animals, live animals or cadavers, you know, dead bodies, take them out of the grave or things like that. As in the old days, when the rise of medicine, you know, was occurring in England and other places like that, people used to actually pay money to some others to go to the graves and rob the graves, you know, and bring the cadavers out so they can experiment on them. And that's how they thought that they're going to advance the cause of medicine. So, you know, for a good cause, they thought, well, that's worth doing it. Well, there was no need for it. God was revealing truth He was revealing the medical profession to man, and he entrusted it to the priesthood. He didn't mean for anybody else outside of the priesthood to be in this medical profession, because sickness and disease and all those things are theological issues, not just physical. You see, there are laws that are being disobeyed, and therefore they need to be repented of. People don't go to the doctor and ask for healing, and I'm paying the money, and then in the process, you know, they plead with the doctor to forgive them and atone for them, or things like that. You see, and yet that's the way God wanted it to be. And that's why it says, even in terms of that anointing in James, when you read about it, it says that, you know, if somebody is sick, let him go. You know, in the last chapter of James, chapter 5, somebody is sick, and let him go unto the elders, and they will lay, you know, hands on him. And if he had sinned, his sins will be forgiven. Well, who goes to the physician nowadays, to the dentist or the doctor or the surgeon or anything like that, and mentions the issue of repentance and sins that need to be forgiven? You see, they just go back and do the same old thing as they used to do before. And people don't realize that. And so we should not wait, you know, until we're sick and afflicted and then cry to God, you know, oh, God, save us. We should be obedient to the law of God and take care of the temple of the Holy Spirit. And God made it very plain. The people that defile the temple, God will destroy. And you see a lot of people that have been destroyed because of that. And very few pay attention, because again, the priesthood neglected their job.